chapter 1, verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son for you, and you shall call his name John. Zechariah did not go to the temple to pray for a son. Zechariah maybe had been praying when he was 30 years old, or when he was 35. That is when he was praying for a son, like anyone else. And now he was an old man. He was no longer praying for a son. He had given up on that altogether. But when the angel appears to him, he says, Zechariah, your prayer has been answered. Your prayer has been heard by God. That should make us understand very clearly that there is no prayer that goes wasted before God. The prayer you made last year is still valid before God even today. You know, God does not exist in our time frame. For us, we exist in time. We know it's 5 minutes late, it is 10 minutes late, it is a year late. In heaven, there is nothing like time. In heaven, they operate under something called eternity. In eternity, there is no yesterday, there is no today, there is no tomorrow. And so, if you prayed yesterday, your prayer is still before the Lord in heaven. So God tells Zechariah, I have heard your prayer. And Zechariah is wondering, which prayer? Am I praying even for a child? I'm too old. That is not what I want now. I used to want a child sometimes back. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Sometimes we are limited because we want to pray until we see some result. What about the times when you don't see any result? God has not called us to be successful in our own eyes, the way we define success. I want you to understand that you will not be rewarded by God for your success. You will not be rewarded for effort. God rewards faithfulness. It is only faithfulness that is going to be rewarded. So, as you are going to pray before God, you pray. You may see the result today, you may not see it, but in God's time, it shall come to pass. The Bible says He makes everything beautiful in His time. And so, you may be praying for a husband today and you want him next year. What if he comes in 3 years' time? Or, what if he comes sooner than you expected? Can we trust in the Lord? Verse 14, and you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know, as we move on, understand, this man is praying for a son. He's not praying for a prophet. He's only praying for a son. Like any other person is praying for a son. The way Abraham told God, who shall be my heir? I want someone to inherit my property. That is all Abraham wanted. But when God appeared to Abraham, he never gave him a son. He told him, count the stars. I'll give you sons as many as the stars in the air. I'll give you, that is the number of children I'll give you, not just one son, according to your prayer. And so Zechariah is asking for a son, but the son he got is the son that Jesus himself said, that under all children born of women on this earth, there is no one greater than this child. That is John the Baptist. There is no one greater. God said, Jesus himself said, no one. That we are talking of Abraham, we are talking of Solomon, we are talking of Moses. No one born of a woman is ever greater than this son, John the Baptist. But Jesus did not stop there. He said, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than this John the Baptist. And so, you know, many times we are confused as children of God. I've heard many times, we say, I want to pray until I become like Moses. Or I want the power of Elijah to be upon me. You know, all those people you talk about in the Old Testament, there was the apex, there was the climax. The highest of all those people was John the Baptist. And then Jesus says, the least in the kingdom of God, yani ule mtu ameokoka leo, is greater than that John the Baptist. And yet you want to be like Elijah. You are demoting yourself before God. Or you want to be like Solomon. You are demoting yourself. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. You know, Jesus said, even Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these flowers. Jesus never even compared Solomon to a king, never compared him to something great. He compared him to a weed, a shrub. He was not like this grass. But he said, but one greater than Solomon is here, talking of himself. And you have Jesus Christ inside of you. Verse 18 now, that's where the problem came in. Verse 18, and Zechariah said unto the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. When God appeared to Abraham in his old age, we are told Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So the righteousness of Abraham was in believing in God, that God can do it. He believed that, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Amen. Here Zechariah is given the same promise that Abraham was given. I will give you a son. He shall do great things. He shall turn the hearts of the father to the children. Actually, he was told this son is going to fulfill the prophecy in Malachi chapter 4. When God said, in the last days I'll send Elijah the prophet, and he shall bring the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. So, the angel is telling him, that prophecy will be fulfilled through you. And the only thing this man can say is, how shall it happen? Don't you see that I'm an old man? Look at my wife. She's well stricken in years. And she was not even as old as Sarah. But the husband is already complaining before God. And yet God wants to do something great. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. He had to remind this man, I am Gabriel. And he did not stop at being Gabriel. He said, I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. I am the one who stands before God. I stand in the presence of God day and night. And you are talking to me about your age. What is age before God? I believe that people need to be reminded that. Jesus tells you, you know what? I am Jesus. I'm the one who stands in the presence of God. I'm the one who lives to make intercession for you. I'm the one who prays for you day and night. What is this before me? Who are you, almighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? And you have the Spirit of God in you. Jesus Christ is dwelling in you. Every mountain, the Bible tells us, mountains melt like wax before the Lord. They cannot stand before him. Praise Jesus. So he says, I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be damned. Now, God had to intervene. And he told, for that reason, you will never speak again. You shall be damned. You shall be damned and not be able to speak until the day that this thing shall be performed. Because you do not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So listen to that. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, we understand the whole reason why the children of Israel died in the wilderness is not because of the many sins that they committed. It is not because of idolatry, although they did a lot of idolatry. It is not because of all that. The Bible says it is because of their unbelief. Actually, the Bible says God gave them promises, the gospel was preached to them, but the Bible says they never mixed it with faith. And therefore they died in the wilderness. The Bible says their carcasses were scattered all over the wilderness for 40 years. And God swore with an oath, you shall not enter into my rest, because of their unbelief at that time. Unbelief is not about you. It is about the other person. So if God says, I'll give you this and you doubt, the problem is not you. It is now you are doubting his ability as God to perform it. And that's why it's such a great sin. How can you tell God, you've brought me from Egypt, but you cannot take me to Canaan? It is wickedness. The sin of unbelief. That is one thing that made the children of Israel miss their promises. And that is what is happening even today. How many times have God promised us great things? We don't acquire anything because we doubt from the word God. God is impressed by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can be doing other things right. You can be the holiest person you've ever seen. You do everything the way it should be done. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is very important, because when you say we have faith, number one, we don't have faith in ourselves. Praise Jesus. Even you don't need to have faith in yourself. You know, there are people who have faith in themselves. There are others who have faith in faith itself. And that is still wrong believing. Why am I saying that? When you look at the scriptures, when you look at the Bible, all the people that Jesus even said this has great faith, it is those who had faith in Jesus. You can only have faith in a person. And so when you are sick, you don't walk around saying, I know I'll be healed, I know I'll be healed. You are just behaving like a witch. The thing is, I believe Jesus can heal this disease. I don't have money in my pocket. I know Jesus gives people money when they ask for it. But not that I know I'll have money. I know. I just believe you are behaving like a wizard. They do the same things. And therefore, the moment we detach our faith from the person of Jesus, it is idolatry. And so it is always attached to a person. This person went down, couldn't speak, and the Bible says, and the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried for so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. So I was saying, there are moments when God is doing some great work, that at that point, some of us have to be muted. Some of us have to go silent, so that we don't interfere with the divine purposes of God at that particular time.